That's, yeah. Oh. Yeah, uh-huh, here we are, Brain of Madness, again.
Good save.
I looked down and there was little bouncy lines.
But we didn't get any good silence.
Mm-hmm. Okay, everyone,
freak out.
Moment of silence for...
Morgan.
Morgan.
What?
Oh, come on now. I'm still here, all guys.
Right. That's not funny. So, you guys, I was trying to think of a thing to ask you, and we might have talked about this already, but I've got this thing about time. Really kind of is a major important factor in my life, and I think I'm jealous of some of you because I think maybe time isn't as like this dominating force that makes you do things. Is that true? What's your guys' relationship to time?
Move through it in one direction, generally.
Yeah.
Did you say Lutheran?
Lutheran. I have a Lutheran relationship.
I'm more like a Lutheran timekeeper.
Yeah, we have our own watches.
Yeah, one guy wrote notes and stuck them on a clock, and here we are.
And that's what I believe.
How many minutes in an hour are in Lutheran time?
11.
Yes.
Oh.
Sorry.
I am a chronobathist.
Bathist?
Like you murder time?
Like the bath party of Iraq?
There you go.
Wow. That's intense.
No, I have the same relationship to time as Andrew, and it controls me more than I control it, would be the best way to describe it.
That makes sense because your job is a lot of timers, right? Like this got to go for this long, this has got to go for this long kind of shit.
Totally.
You can feel a minute pass. Like, you know when a minute's gone by.
The Sunday scaries are especially critical for timers.
Yeah.
I have that sometimes where I do it more in my free time, honestly. But, like, I work evenings. And the whole day before work is a countdown sometimes. Oh, and it is really oppressive and shitty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the whole idea. You got it.
And it's like, oh, I only have a half hour to do nothing. I wanted to do nothing for a while. Damn it. And like it's like
and it ruins the nothing also. Yeah.
Yep. Totally.
So yeah, I feel that deeply.
Being on time and knowing exactly what time it is was deeply important to me as a kid. And I've tried pretty hard to make it less important to me. But I used to do like, you know, remember you could call time, like you dial on the
phone.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd go, you know, at the tone, the time will be blah, 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 in 7 seconds. So I would call that like 4 or 5 times in a row to make sure I could hit my reset button at exactly the minute change so that my seconds were right on.
Wow.
And I'd do that like every few days because I had a shitty watch that always...
You were determined. I had a feeling you were going to have something interesting to say.
I was going to say, good lord.
I feel like you were in a battle with time and you were determined to win.
Yeah.
You were like trying to be the Time Lord. Like you were going to end up in a Tartarus or whatever, cruising through time.
I'm not going to let this watch steal my seconds.
Yeah,
I decide the second.
I know what a second is now.
You will never get away from me, time.
Always know what second it is, I'll be okay.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Something that like sounds that. Like a nightmare.
Somehow.
Yeah. Like asking someone, hey, do you know what second it is?
And I've been told by more than one person that I'm the most punctual person they've ever known. Although that was before I had kids. I'm less good at being on time now, but
good, fuck it.
Yeah, it's good for me. Yeah, definitely. And I used to wear, you know, be obsessive about wearing watches, and now I don't need to wear a watch. I haven't for years. Like before I had a cell phone even, I gave up on watch wearing. Because I beat my time obsession a tiny bit.
You beat time back.
Who's the Time Lord now, time?
Still time.
Just yelling at a grandfather clock.
With a baseball bat?
Yeah.
What about
take
you two?
One more second.
Oh, I don't really have any interesting contribution to this one. My relationship with time is very average.
Yeah, you were like on time or not. is like how what I was just thinking. Like it feels like average on this one.
Huh. I do like to count. I'm pretty accurate at counting seconds in my head.
Damn.
Yeah, I am extremely accurate at knowing basically under 10 minutes because of all of my jobs. Mm. I like set 4-minute timers probably 10 times a day.
Do you like
and
check your
I almost part. Always, like I'll sit down during that 4-minute timer because it's like rest time technically. And I almost always stand up within like 10 seconds of it going off.
I'm the same way with bread timers. Like my,
I was going to say
30 seconds
pizza.
I do have a weird thing. I have never slept through an alarm and I always wake up about 5 minutes before the alarm.
Nice.
Totally.
It's except there is its alarms generally.
Oh, that sucks.
But it's cool because I can turn it off as soon as it starts and tell her to get up. So I don't have to go back to
bed.
To it.
And then go back to bed.
Yep, exactly. That's like every day.
I can set an alarm in my mind and wake up within like 10 minutes of that time.
Your mind?
Yeah, I'll always be early.
Yeah, I can unless it's waking up at like 2 a.m., I don't trust myself to actually wake myself up. But I've done it before for like road trips and stuff.
What?
I just say, as I'm laying down, if I just say, like, I'm going to wake up at 3 a.m., then I will.
What if you're drunk?
That's different. It's a little different. But
10 more points into Morgan is a robot.
Yeah, you guys, I was like thinking I was the freak, but you guys do time shit way more intense than me.
I just do it in my sleep.
I think this is one of the most revealing questions ever, is what is your relationship with time? I think everybody should.
And it works no matter how you phrase
know
it.
Know more about that.
You can be
a lot of my dreams end in like, oh shit, I'm late, and I wake up and it's I'm 5 minutes before an alarm. Like that does.
I thought you
I have
just
a bad
said,
relationship with time, I guess.
Oh man. How about your Nick of Time? Your evil supervillain.
Oh yeah. I do hate that shit. That guy, he's the worst.
he's all about time. He's the worst.
He's a pretty bad ripoff of a C-list Batman character, actually, which I did not realize for years, like for a really long time. And then watched an episode of the cartoon and was like, ah, fuck.
That's hilarious.
But does he have as good of a pen name?
He's the Clock King. I beat him in the name
department. Oh, yeah. Ooh, that sure. name is King.
Fucking the basic. Clock King.
Nick of Time originally.
Get the hell out of here with that shit.
That's trash.
At least it's an alliteration.
It never came up in the story, but Nick of Time originally had a sidekick just in time, too. But it didn't work out.
Boo. Boo.
What? That's great. Fuck you guys.
Oh, yeah, I love that. That's beautiful. I'm on Jared's side.
No, it's great.
Yeah.
We always say that to Justin. He was, that was the story.
He was
born on Christmas, and his mom said he was born just in time.
Oh, he had lots of good puns like that.
He's a very incredibly late person, too. So late.
I know, for sure. From his mom, I grew up with him, and his mom was somehow magically like 4 to 7 hours late to things. Like, I don't know how.
Well, it's weird. I mean, his due date was actually in November, but he was just like, nah, I'm just chilling. I'll get there when I get there. Christmas sounds like a big one. Decided to be born.
Jesus, Justin, you know.
My dad would intentionally be late. And it
exceptionally?
Intentionally. He would intentionally be several hours late, 2 to 3 hours late to everything we went to, unless he was working. But if it was like an enjoyable thing. And it would
go to those two. Have too life. Much time at the enjoyable things.
No, yeah, but I guess that's your origin for why you used to call about time. Yep. All the time.
It's a pretty straightforward story.
Yeah. No, I think mine's similar. I definitely can't wake myself up. Like, I wake up at a kind of a similar time every day, but I couldn't, like, tell myself to wake up.
I bet you could
time.
Teach yourself to. I mean, I taught myself to when I was a teenager.
All you have to be is as neurotic as young Morgan.
It's just about knowing that your mind does things whether you know how it does it or not. Like,
yeah,
you just expect it to happen and soon it starts happening. With that one thing. That's not true about everything in life. Just with the waking up thing.
Yeah, I think
that's
you're
not what the secret
like...
told me.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. I'm not advocating what the secret says here. That's not
well,
what
speaking,
I mean.
Speaking about magic thinking, you guys are... You just threw your partner over the boat who died and was disappearing, melting away from a
what?
Horrible wound.
Oh, Stanley.
Stanley Reeder.
Okay. Yeah. I still have his foot, right?
You have his foot. You have the control foot.
Yeah.
Can't forget about that.
I want someone to write a song called Control Foot.
Okay.
On it.
Yeah. Awesome. I want everyone, all of you, write a song called Control Foot. And
we'll
then
do a battle of the control feet.
So much great music. You could totally make an album out of our music for this, but we don't have any songs with lyrics. There has to be some like playing with madness quote inspired songs.
They have this one song. They have one song with lyrics, and it's about something called the control foot. Yeah, you kind of have to listen to it for it to make sense.
People will think it's about driving or something boring like that.
The bad magic is chasing you down, control foot.
Control foot.
Control foot.
Control foot.
To the tune of the diarrhea song.
Oh, what is that song?
Diarrhea song.
I mean, that's
coming
kind of...
around the third and your pants are full of turd, diarrhea.
Control
diarrhea.
Foot.
Control foot.
Oh, I didn't know that that was a thing.
The diarrhea song?
Yeah.
You were never nine?
Okay, what?
I never
when you're
this.
Climbing up a ladder and you hear that poo-poo splatter, diarrhea.
Yeah.
Diarrhea.
Cha-cha-cha.
Oh, okay, so when you're disgusting. Sliding into first and you feel something burst.
Diarrhea.
It's a hemorrhoid.
Diarrhea.
It's a hemorrhoid.
And you're recording a podcast and you have talked about everything except for poop. Diarrhea.
Magnifico! Diarrhea.
We made it. We did it. We got to.
There we go. No edit. Perfect song.
Yeah. Well, so that happened, and you all are looking on the boat for prime suspect Betsy Wheeler, and couldn't find her. And what else happened?
Someone found her torn up blouse, right? Bloody torn up.
Yeah.
Blouse.
Oh yeah, I found that shit.
Yeah. Leopold,
I found a pillowcase.
You found a whole bunch of fancy pillows. You made best friends with the magic maid.
I do not remember that.
That's the next one that comes out on the feed. Is
I'm curious because I remember losing my mind.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the mind losing one.
Real goofy.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And you all are about to arrive to Skagway. You're like pulling into the bay outside of the city. The city is, yeah, it's more of a town. This
parallel
kind
parking.
Of like tent city. And these docks kind of jut out into the wetlands, into the bay. And you're pulling in. And Leopold was on his own walking about the ship up on the deck trying to do some final reconnaissance. He read the letter from Stanley's brother, Brian Reeder, talking about how he works for New Sphere, this new company that you guys found out about. That is like the biggest gold mining conglomerate in the world that is active in Dawson City. And Stanley was like trying to figure out what was going on with that. And the logo of New Sphere is this logo with the star, shooting star in the mountain in the lake in the reflection that's on Nigel's watch. There's some things kind of coming together here.
Wait, what is the symbol? I don't remember. Explain that a little bit further. The New Sphere.
So this is New logo. Sphere's logo is a shooting star over a mountain. And there's a lake below that reflects the mountain and the shooting star, and it's like a circle. It's a logo for the company New Sphere.
And that's we've seen cool it logo. In several places, right? Like something to...
Yeah, it's on my letter from the mayor of Dawson asking him to Hana's wife. Yep. Teal has it on a ring or his watch from his dad. Is that right?
His watch from his dad. Yeah.
Which I noticed, and this letter, and that's as far as I know the three sightings.
And then the Captain Willie Candleman told you that this was a logo for New Sphere. You hadn't really found out about New Sphere, and then you're like, what? And then Teal hit the dun dun dun.
Okay.
So you found out that there's something going on with Stanley in this company. Sounds like his company Eagle had some interaction or entwining with New Sphere. Sounds like Nigel has some weird connection to it. Leopold has a connection to it with his letter to do some art. Yeah, there's some
work
things happening.
Hire.
Work for hire. He's been hired by
the New Sphere.
And then Leopold is up on the deck looking around for Betsy. It was kind of like a last-ditch effort as you all are pulling into the bay. And scary black magic man comes
up.
Well,
I don't know that.
Yeah, you don't know that. But the audience knows. And everyone's got to go except for Leopold.
Oh, shit. Bye, guys.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye.
Grabbing some dice so I can roll for my sanity loss.
Yeah, get ready. Excuse me, sir.
What? Oh, good day. Good day.
Good day. I can't help but notice that you've been traveling with Mr. Reeder and Nigel Cunningham.
Yes. Have you happened to see a woman? Goes by the name of Betsy, Miss Wheeler. I'm kind of like looking around distractedly, like not really. He hasn't caught me yet. He doesn't.
Yeah. To remind folks, this is a man. He's quite tall. Wearing a black kind of short top hat, black small glasses, a mustache, kind of drawn, gaunt face, in a black cloak, and holding a cane. Very fine clothing. And he says, "A Betsy Wheeler, no. And you are Leopold. Leopold Weston."
That catches my attention. Yeah. Sorry, have we met?
No. But you're not Leopold.
What? I'm sorry, are you confused? We've never met. How do you know who I am?
Well, that actually is interesting. I read in the newspaper that Mr. Weston was murdered. And I'm curious why he's here.
What newspaper was that? Do you have it?
Oh, it's common knowledge. The police are out looking.
Oh,
and
that must be some double name. Was it a Leopold Weston from San Francisco?
The artist, my friend.
Huh. That is strange. Well, I'll have to call. Which paper was it? I'll have to call, have them issue a retraction, find out what's going on. Obviously not dead.
Yes. It is obvious that you are not dead, and I'm curious who you really are. Now, there is something you can do for me.
Are you a Pinkerton?
No. We've used them. But no, I'm,
State police? What is this?
Let's say I am a businessman. And you can be helping me.
Anything to do with New Sphere?
Oh, you've heard of us. Of course you have. We're one of the biggest companies in the world. My name is... Let me introduce myself. My name is Wendell Friedman, an executive of NewSphere, and curious about your party. The Mr. Cunningham and Mr. Nimwitz both have some interest that could benefit NewSphere. And I can see that you are in a bit of a corner trap. And let's say that we could be mutually beneficial to each other.
That kind of relationship. What do you need? How can we help you?
I need to know what Nimwitz, Mr. Nimwitz, has been doing on his experiments. And I would like to know if Mr. Cunningham would be willing to join our conglomerate.
Why don't you ask them?
I find having tools, having people working for me to be more effective. Roll a power roll.
Shit. Alrighty, what is my power? I think it's very good. Oh no, 65. It's actually very good. 97 over 65.
That is not a critical failure.
May I push?
Yeah. This is so you know, this is an opposed roll. I'm not sure if you're allowed to push, but I'll say yes, you can.
No, it kind of makes sense you can't. Fuck it, yeah. I failed. I think that makes sense.
I rolled an O2. I rolled an extreme.
Well, good thing I didn't waste it.
Yeah. So, you're talking with Mr. Friedman, and then all of a sudden, your jaw kind of just clenches tight. And you sound struck and dumb. In a trance, you cannot move. You are completely immobile. You are cognizant of everything that is happening. But you are trapped in your own body.
In his pocket, his hand has a switchblade, like, half open, like, clutching the blade and ready to just pull it out. And it's just frozen like that.
Yeah, you even maybe were, like, beginning, like, you're ready, and it just, you like, freeze in place.
Yeah.
And he says, now, we can go about this in a civilized manner, or as someone who represents one of those biggest companies in the world, we can do it my way. So I need you to investigate Penaru, Mr. Nimwitz, gather any materials that he's using in his experiments, and I would like you to invite Mr. Nigel Cunningham to the office, the government office here in Skagway. There is a office building where the mayor of this town, Jefferson Rudolph, we call him Soapy Smith, conducts his business. Have Mr. Cunningham join us. We can have a conversation about your interests in Dawson combining with NewSphere. Now, I appreciate your discretion in all this. No need to mention my name. And in compensation for your help, we can let this Leopold Weston, whoever you are, you know, they were looking for someone. They mentioned it in the paper. Maybe this is your name. They were looking for Marvin McFoley. They were, so anyways, it's a pleasure meeting you, Mr. Weston. I look forward to seeing your art up in Dawson City. And I bid you a good day. And he begins to walk away, and you're, like, frozen there. and he kind of melts into the crowd of the on the boat. Like it's beginning to get all excited, and kind of everyone's like up on the deck on the railing, seeing this port, getting ready to really embark on the true kind of adventure to Dawson. And he kind of fades into the crowd, and you are released.
Yeah, I think just like people are rushing past me, everybody's like going to the edge, and I'm just looking straight forward, shaking.
Yeah, people are like running by you, and you're looking like the opposite direction. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he just like, and then he looks around for the guy. What was the guy's name again? Sorry, I didn't get it written down.
Wendell Friedman. And I'll tell the guys they can come back.
Okay.
Hearing that while looking at the Dennis Hopper gif is really great.
Well, that is nice.
Wow. So calming.
Just gonna get calming. A giant poster / speaker of that in my house.
He's got a definite little wiggle.
Yeah.
Oh man, look at that wiggle. Now that is a wiggle.
I didn't understand that movie.
Blue Velvet?
Well, you do now that you heard that.
It's a David Lynch movie. It's the most straightforward kind of film.
Yeah, in the world. What do you mean?
You didn't get it?
Nope. Sesame Street is more cryptic than David Lynch.
Right. The Butler did it.
David Butler did it.
So yeah, you can look around, and are any of you guys on the deck? Like, are any of you coming up to like as you're coming into port at Skagway?
I think everybody was still in kind of a meeting. I forget what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, I kind of forget too. That meeting's over. If you were,
Nigel's in his room, tending his wound.
Oh yeah,
being a little odd.
I am all up on that deck, trying to like interview people or like just get. Vibes.
The vibes are high. It's high vibes. Everyone's excited. They're landing in Skagway. You're looking around and you see Leopold like staring the opposite direction where everyone else is like looking over the railing at the the town and the dock and the mountains where the city is. And Leopold's like looking the other direction, like towards the boat. Do you guys do anything?
Oh, sorry. I thought that was an offer for French to do something. If I see Smothers.
Yeah, you see each other.
Sorry. Smothers. Mr. Burden. And he looks like shit. He's like shaky and sweaty.
How can I help you? I was wondering if I could. Oh, my. You look dreadful.
What's wrong? a bit of an encounter. I think we all need to talk. We should get everyone together before we disembark. There'll be a line to get off the boat anyways. I guess we might have business with the mayor here.
Okay, very interesting. Yes, I've gotten all I need to see here. Do you want to get back to your room and I can bring you some of something to help you with your condition?
I don't have a room. Let's all meet at Nigel's in a few minutes. I'll take a drink. I'll be fine. And he like stumbles off, like tearing at like the collar of his shirt. Like,
yeah. Smothers was just trying to think of like a really clever way to like make a title for his first newspaper print, like "Ship to Shore Shines New Life." For the docking of the blah blah blah, and
the Bonanza
page title.
he was workshopping it. Okay,
my paper is famous for the long titles.
It's so much easier with the long titles. The font's so big it covers a whole front page.
I am the designer of all of these things. and now he's a little bit flustered and confused and decides to, you know what. How long until the ship is all the way landed?
About half an hour, 15 minutes. It's like coming in. Yeah. So you all are
a little bit.
You all are kind of gathering. You look for Are you?
Okay. Yeah, the last thing I was doing, if I remember correctly, was explaining to the captain that we got rid of the body like he wanted and everything was good. And he bought it, right?
Yeah, you guys.
But after that, I would have left. I'd be on the deck. I want to roll a spot hidden to see if I notice that Jared or Leopold looks like a little touched right now.
Yeah, I think you do. If you come over and you see it... see him, you definitely see that he is.
Then I want to offer him, please take a drink of my own homebrew medicine. It will calm you.
Oh, yeah, he'll take it, slug it.
Okay, that's the psychedelic morphine wine. So I'm actually just trying to make you go as crazy as I am.
Oh, this fucking vial, man. What is this shit?
You will see. It will make you feel very much.
Thanks, buddy. I'm going to go find some whiskey. That's not really my blood. And then scoot off. But meet me over in Nigel's room.
The opposite of much.
No, he will have much feeling.
Do you have a cigarette? I feel awful. Let's go to Nigel's.
No, I just take a drink, too. I match him.
Okay, and so he tells you to meet at Nigel's. Okay. And,
well, that changes what I was going to say a little
bit. You're now you're tripping on mushroom.
I got a little bit of time.
You're microdosing. You're like the initiator of microdosing, Roman.
Yeah, I invented it. It's pretty cool.
And roofie, kind
of. Yeah.
Just making everyone on my level.
What do you do, Penroof?
I don't think I'm there. Like, timeline wise, we got rid of the body and I took the foot and we all left the room and I think I went down to the what do you call it? Tighten up my wagon, stow the hatches and barnacle the brimble.
Batten down the hatches.
Whatever.
Well, if you're in the bait bottom or in the cargo, we know. So I'll find you there.
Yeah, that's fine. I think that's where I'd be though. In the wagon.
So Leopold finds
I don't know
you
why, but I just I pictured Penroof setting his watch over and over again and trying to send a telegram to whatever popcorn was called.
Trying to do it with my watch, like clicking.
Exactly 3 months. It will be this second.
Seven different methods.
He's up on the deck with a fucking sundial, like counting it. Okay, so everyone knows to go to Nigel's. If you want to, you can. And the ship begins to come into the town and the docks. There's these long docks with these kind of structures in the middle of the. They come out from these wetlands. It's all like marshy and wet, and these long, like 200 feet, 500 feet long docks come out through the wetlands, and then there's these big docks where the boats can, where it's deep enough for the boats to come up to them. And there's some buildings where the boats land. And then so the docks are all bustling with people getting ready to accept the shipments. You know, there's so much stuff on these boats to unload. It has to be shipped into town. You can see the town in the distance. This town was built in a day. It looks like, you know, there's like muddy streets. The bay lands are all brown with mud. There's all these tent buildings. There's only a couple like really solid wooden structures. Most of the town is like tent structures. The hillsides all along this kind of bay and flatland are denuded of trees. And you can see these mountains in the distance, capped snow peaks with deep blue glaciers in the kind of the crevices along the mountains, the lees of the mountains. And you are coming into Skagway. What do you do in Nigel's room? The deck is bustling with people. The crew are beginning to unload, like getting the cargo to unload, ready to unload. The folks are there's just a lot of excitement. What are you all doing in Nigel's room?
Is everyone cool being there?
I'm there.
I follow you.
To there. Okay. Yeah, so I guess we're all in there, and you could hear just movement of all these crowds of people on the roof above us on the deck. and Leopold's like sweaty and like seems twitchy and uncomfortable, like touching his face too much and just like moving around a lot. So I just met someone, guys. I just met someone, and they work for New Sphere. Have any of you ever heard of New Sphere?
Yes, it's a large mining conglomerate, one of the leading mining conglomerates in the world.
I think they might be the source of a few of our problems. And I put down the note from Stanley Reeder with the crest from New Sphere. And then I put down the note from the mayor of Dawson with the crest from New Sphere. Nigel, I noticed you have this symbol on your pocket watch. Like put it with like the crest thing, the logo, face up.
Yeah, Nigel like slowly pulls out his pocket watch and he opens his pocket watch and it has the symbol on it. Yes, I do.
Well, it's the symbol for New Sphere. I don't know what connection you have to it, although they apparently want something from you. But basically, it looks like Stanley Reeder's brother, Brian Reeder, worked for New Sphere. New Sphere hired me to come up here, and I think they probably had a hand in all of us ending up here. And they want to work for us, and it sounds like exploit us. I just met someone, Wendell Freeman, who just tried to lay some kind of con on me. He had glasses, top hat, wore all black, very tall and pale. And he's, something's wrong with that.
Can we find him?
What?
Is he
what
somewhere
did you say
on the
this
boat?
Gentleman's name was?
Wendell Freeman. Friedman. He's a free man. Freeman.
You can tell he's starting to get a little high.
Like shaking
after
now
he stops
high.
Talking, yeah. His mouth keeps moving a little, like
yeah, he's like doing the yawn thing, stretching out your teeth,
looking at no one in particular while talking, like looking right past you.
This he's note, kind of... you found this in Stanley's room.
Yeah, I pocketed it while the captain was talking to us.
So his brother was part of this organization. Very interesting.
A rival organization, Eagle, kind of gives motive to his death and maybe that attack earlier. And then this man just came and I think is trying to extort us. He told me I couldn't trust any of you. I pointed Roman. Roman, he said you murdered someone and are on the run. And then I pointed Nigel. And he said you are under an assumed identity? He's trying to turn us against each other, it sounded like. He wanted me to do all these things to manipulate you. He wants you, Nigel, to have dinner with the mayor tonight of this town, Jefferson Soapy Smith. And it sounds like... Oh, and Mr. Nimwitz, he wants your research, whatever it is you're up to, as though I have any fucking clue.
Who is this? What do you mean he wants my research? What? Where is he? I'd like to talk to this guy.
He slipped away. I tried to find him. He pulled some kind of trick. He confused me. I don't know.
But he's on the boat. The boat's not that big.
I lost him in the crowd. You're welcome to look for him, but I thought I should tell all of you.
No,
I think this is who probably poisoned Stanley. I think this is the cause of our problems. Wants to turn us against each other, and he wants us to work for him, and not voluntarily, it sounds like.
And Roman,
yes, well.
His description of the man with the hat all dark with the small glasses and the gaunt face.
Reminds me
back
of someone.
Yes.
Oh, that's
yeah,
right.
I'm getting really uncomfortable with that.
So,
yes,
yeah,
gentlemen, these people with New Sphere are not to be trifled with. They're very dangerous individuals. My father was one of them. He was a lead shareholder in their organization. And they are not men to be taken lightly. So if you encounter any more of these individuals from this organization, try not to antagonize them. I think it would be in our best interests to have dinner with this mayor of Skagway. What'd you say his name was? Sobe, like the lizard drink.
Is that what lizards drink? Is Sobe?
Jefferson Sobe Smith.
I believe it's with a P. Sobe.
Sobe.
Oh, I had no idea. I thought you meant lizards drink soap, and I was like, what is this fucking reference?
Oh my god.
That was Sobe? Great.
Cleanest mayor in Alaska.
I mean, the hit from the 90s, maybe the 1890s too.
I feel a little off. I think that maybe he drugged me. I don't know. I got confused when he left, and I couldn't move right. And I still feel a little strange. Anyways.
He drugged you.
Anyways, he's clearly a liar. I have no idea what any of your past is, but you're not, it seems like to me, like he's trying to turn us all against each other.
Well, perhaps we should have a bit of solidarity. Maybe we should all have similar accommodations here in Skagway and stick together. You know, as far as our next step goes, we do need to get to Dawson. And once we get to Dawson, there is a Mr. Vanley there, who is Stanley's partner. I believe we need to make contact with this gentleman. In the meantime, if we have to make some sort of false truce with these New Sphere folk, I suggest we do so. It's in our best interest, seeing as how we're strangers in a strange land, yes?
Duh. I think you are very correct, sir.
What sort of research are you performing that these people would be so interested in?
I don't quite know how to explain it, or want to, particularly. I'm looking.
Does it have something to do with that odd book?
Yes. Well, you see, there's something else out there, and I'm looking for it.
Like gold?
No. No.
Lumpy, chunky gold.
No.
I love that lumpy, chunky.
Oh, God. Look, I've been a scientist my whole, adult life. The world is an orderly place. It works according to certain principles. Or so I thought. But now it seems there might be some other thing. And I'm looking for it. There's nothing to share, really.
Do you mean, atomics? I read an article about this once. I'm sure I have no idea.
Yes, I am also sure that you have no idea.
Well, there we go. Okay.
At least you have that.
They literally discovered radiation this year, so.
Awesome.
I don't know if they're dropping the word atomics yet.
No, I read it.
You don't know?
Commonly used word for the subatomic, the microscopic, kind of shit.
Because atoms is like an old concept from the Greeks.
Yeah, that's Democritus, so. But we didn't know what they were until later.
Very good. Cool. Well, unless anybody has any other points of order, shall we make sure that our equipment is offloaded from the boat in good order?
I just want to reiterate, be careful around these people, especially that guy. He's dangerous, is the impression I got.
This man, his name of Wendell, you say?
Wendell Friedman.
Wendell?
Up until now, you've noticed, like, Smothers pretty much always has his notepad out, like, writing stuff down. This conversation, he, like, put it away kind of right away. And, I will be starting a newspaper, and I do agree with all of the things you're saying, though some of this information seems more potent and something that I shouldn't put into the public's ears. So I might be checking with you to see what information I should release. I think it's important the public is informed, but maybe onto something greater, more dangerous.
What if you put out to... If you make enemies a new sphere with your paper probably isn't going to last. They're pretty powerful up here.
Yes, yes. I will perhaps maybe do some of my own investigation. My family has some interests and investments in the news. Might be able to find out more through a few telegrams when we land.
Great. And you hear the boat, like, a big whistle, like, and someone knocking on the doors, like, Skagway, Skagway, like, down the hall of these kind of upper-class rooms, like, we're unloading, get your stuff, get time to go, and the camera pulls out, and the boat is up to the dock. Oh, these long kind of pathways, walkways into the bay, and you see the supplies beginning, all the cargo beginning to get removed from the boat. Folks are gathering their materials together, moving down the walkway with all their supplies, and you can see the town in the slight distance is beginning to bustle with this new arrival of a large ship with a lot of people and supplies and money. And you all want to kind of jump ahead? You want to unload? Is there anything else you want to do?
Let's get off this fucking boat, guys.
I want to go find Dean and be like, we have to be very careful. There is a Wendell man. He is telling much lies. Do not trust. And
I
you
feel like Dean
me.
Would be there.
Was Dean with it? I mean, like, I don't
know.
No,
I would not.
He's guarding the door. He's like your fucking
muscle.
Yeah, okay, he's cool. Your guy. He watches the back your backs. He watches the door. So he's there. He's like, I got it.
Okay, cool.
I got it, Mr. Petrovsky. I got this fucking 36 for Mr. Friedman.
Smothers kind of wants to try to take a picture of this top hat man that these guys are describing.
Do y'all want to look for him?
I kind of want to try to get... Like, put on a big press badge and try to force my way through the crowd and be like, I'm here on official business, and kind of get to the front and look like I'm offering to take people's pictures, but actually
okay.
I'm to that guy.
So you're kind of going ahead. Mm-hmm. You're going to go ahead. You guys have been talking for a while, so roll a luck roll.
Okay. Oh, God. Zero, zero, 001.
Holy shit.
Pretty lucky.
Nice. Like Ong Bak style, I just run across everybody's shoulders.
And no one minds.
So you're like, I'm not going to write any of this down. And by the way, like, I should try to find this guy. And you're like you have the eagle ears of the group. And so you're going to run and look for Mr. Friedman. You run up to the railing of the boat. You look down.
Midnight's on press. Midnight's on press. Make crew. Make crew.
Hey, fuck you, man. Get back in line. And, some guy says that to you as you're running, and you get to the railing, and you are like surveying the scene of there's like a gangplank, you know, where everyone's walking onto the deck and or onto the dock, and you look around and you see a black like trench coat wearing motherfucker on the dock with the big hat, like walking down. What do you do? He's close enough where you can catch a picture of him.
Uh, Yeah, I try to stop everybody since he's up front. I'm going to pretend like I'm trying to take a picture of like the whole boat leading. Just excuse me, sir. Everybody, just hold back. I don't look at him at all. I try to like just do the whole crowd. Just one moment while I, for posterity, the pictures will go into the Midnight Sun paper available soon in Dawson, in Skagway.
And you are able to like get a shot of the picture off quickly, even though this would be probably
pretty
hard to take the quick shot, but
yeah.
You're able to get one off, and you think that you captured him in the photo.
Okay.
And you see him kind of walking off with the rest of the crowd.
I can do a photography roll either now or when I develop it.
I won't remember, so yeah, let's do it later.
Okay.
But yeah, mark it down. The microphone is right on your character sheet, like photo of Wendell. And I'll write it down too.
Okay.
All right, nice. Any other things before we are in the town?
No.
I kind of want to, like, as people are filing out and they've been knocking on the doors, and so people are leaving, I want to find an empty room if I can. Do I have to roll something for that?
The rooms are like emptying out. That's easy.
Okay. So I just pop into one as everyone else is leaving. Like I'm the last out of Nigel's room, and I just go in and I want to pull up my crystal ball and I want to try and ask it about this Wendell person and the man in black who attacked me before. See if I can glean anything about what's on the horizons from it.
I'm going to try to sneak after him, follow him, and see what he's doing.
Okay.
Didn't you see his face in one of his visions?
Me?
No. Roman saw Wendell's face in one of his visions.
Yeah. Pretty sure, yeah.
I'm going to try and ask, because now, like, we're being confronted with this guy again, so it's a Hail Mary pass. I'm asking this magical item if it can give me any information. I might have to pay the price for that.
Okay. Are you trying to ditch followers? People who are
I just wanted to like get
Penaru
away
wants
from...
to watch you.
Well, I mean, if Penaru, okay, let's say everyone else is leaving, but I'm not trying to make it a thing, like a spectacle and do it in front of everyone. So I just go into something, and if he pops in, I'm like, all right, you're cool, you're weird.
Roll a spot hidden Wendell and see if, or Penaru to see if you figure out that he's doing something weird.
80 over less than that.
So you don't see it.
Okay, so I'm alone. But so
yeah.
And now I will roll, an occult, I guess?
Yeah. Or if you want to roll your Cthulhu mythos.
Oh, I do, because that keeps going up. Oh, but that's still really low.
It's really low.
Yeah, like a 1 in 6 chance.
Yeah, that could
blow. But it's going to be a whole nother level of shit.
Fuck it. We'll try.
Okay.
Come on. 19, which is 6 over.
Oh,
you could use luck to push it.
Oh yeah, I want to use luck to push it.
Okay.
How do I do this again?
Drop your luck points on the little tracker. What is your Cthulhu mythos?
It's 13.
12? 13, so 6 points.
All right.
Well, what's your luck at now?
It was at 40, so now it's at 34.
All right, nice. And okay, so you're alone in this room. You kind of hear the bustling of the boat above you. You pull out your crystal ball and you start performing a ritual with it. Do you have like a set ritual that you do with this ball at this point?
Yeah, again, because I'm not really a wizard. Like time it's been just kind of like it keeps, the more I use it, the more I'm learning, basically. It's like a learning curve. And I'm like, I don't know, I'm going to try something new instead of just being like, use it for you know, tomfoolery and flim-flamming people. I'm like, maybe if I ask it something directly instead of just being like, do something cool, and it gives me a random vision. So now I'm putting intention into it.
Yeah. Okay. So you ask, like, who is Wendell Friedman?
Yeah.
Okay. And you can see you're really focused in on this. You're tripping balls on mushrooms.
Yeah, because I took a drink with Jared earlier.
You're half fucking Yeah, and you're just, you've already lost a bunch of sanity anyways. You're staring at the ball and you look up and your sister's sitting next to you. And she's staring at the ball too. And she puts her hand on your hand. And you look back in the ball and it's green and turquoise, like roiling aurora borealis colors. They begin to project on the wall again, like it did last time with Dean. But this time, the ball itself opens up into a picture. And it's a picture of a house on a hill, this really fine mansion. And you can see these, like, just opulently rich people all kind of milling about the porch of this mansion. You see Wendell Friedman, and he's laughing with like another man, kind of stout, big handlebar mustache. There's a woman there. There's all these people. They just are super well dressed and fancy. You see these hills in the background. It looks like other scenes you've seen, like an Arctic plain with a river running through. And you see them kind of laughing and partying and enjoying themselves. And the scene fades. And then you kind of hear this just like chanting. And it's an explosion. And it's like a bright white light that blinds you. And you look up and your sister's no longer there. And you're alone in this room again.
I start tearing up slightly seeing my sister. Then I'm trying to compose myself because now I have to, I just saw something. Should I roll for sanity?
Definitely.
Okay. But yeah, I'm trying to compose myself before I go back up, but now I've gleaned some sort of something. Oh, I got an 8. I can't remember. Is that good or bad if you're under?
That's great.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, you're good. So you take 1 sanity loss.
Okay.
And you get a sense that these people are, like, in what you've learned now, like, that they're a part of this company. They're in that they're not safe. Like, you know all these things now. And that they are, like, these cultists performing some ritual. They're, like, trying to you're not sure what yet. They are adamant about getting something from.
So I'm getting the feeling that whereas I play as someone who dabbles in magic, there's some cult who maybe really these are the real deal,
and you know they have magic.
Like that, this is not even a joke anymore, right?
Yeah, and you think that this ball that you have, this crystal ball. Like, it was so specific, it showed you them. There must be some connection to them with this ball.
Oh, shit. And yeah, okay. All right, well, I'm going to try and, compose myself and go up and then just sit with that for a minute. Well, I'll see when the right time is to maybe explain this to some of the others.
Nice. And you get up on the ship, the deck. It's beginning to open up. People are getting off the boat. The cargo is being unloaded. Nigel, you want to roll a spot hidden?
I do, yeah.
Okay, you want to roll for to try to see if you see Betsy and the Gray Italian anywhere?
Betsy or the Gray Italian, yeah.
Okay. Roll for it.
Fail.
You do not see Betsy. You do see the Gray Italian. He's working. He's unloading the boat with all the crew.
I'm gonna walk up to Willie, Captain Willie, and be like, "Is that man getting off the ship here?"
Oh, Mr. Cunningham, no. This is my crew. They're coming back with me. They bring the shipments from Skagway back to Seattle.
Listen, I know we got rather skunked on our whole investigation into Stanley Rita's murder, but that man is my prime suspect. Keep an eye on him on the way back.
Of course, we have to arrest him immediately. And he goes and he starts yelling at this guy and knocks him down and throws him in the hole.
cool.
And he just, he tells you how appreciative he is of his, of your help on this, and that he's writing the death certificate and sending info back on Stanley to Seattle. He wishes you the best of luck in your journey, and says if you ever need a ride on the good old Bonanza King, you know where to find Captain Candleman out riding the waves.
It was a pleasure, Captain Candleman. And he shakes his hand.
Great. And you all disembark. You have a pile of gear on the dock and a bunch of insane guys and one kind of mountain man guide. And you have all your shit sitting there. And it's like 7 tons of gear.
And the cross-country skier guy.
And Olaf, yeah. Aslak is there too. He's like, oh, hi. What's, we go skiing soon.
Yeah. Agreed.
And there's stevedores, as I learned from Christiel, as a word, and there you can hire folks on the dock to help you unload. You are moving into the city, and you get there, like I mentioned, the roads are muddy. There's people everywhere kind of milling about. You walk by piles of crates and gear, and there's this like kind of sullen miners just sitting there on a box, just staring at you, smoking a pipe, just scowling. There are a bunch of men gathered around one of the only larger buildings. It looks to be a saloon and hotel. You see them all gathered around. There are some shops. There is what you can tell is like the mayor's mansion house, like administration building. There's like a blacksmith and a stables and all these kinds of things that you would have in a town of this nature. This is not for all of you, but for many of you, your first real like experience of the frontier. This is a frontier town. And it's a boom town. It was built in a short period of time. And you are walking by, you're kind of got your stuff on your wagons, and you got carts of all your gear, and you have people helping you move it. And you have Penaru's donkey and ox marks and
Bakunin.
And you walk by the saloon, and there's all these people and men standing around, and there's someone up on a soapbox. He's like, hey, come here, everyone. We are selling some of the best. You won't want to be going up into Dawson into the crowds without this. This is the strongest here medicine you could ever find. It's we got Greg's old panther piss for sale. And you got a snake oil salesman yelling, and we'll end it there for next time.
Oh, shit. We got to get some panther piss for our journeys, for our travels. Clearly a magic item the GM is presenting to us.
It's a magic item I'm presenting you to. Yeah, exactly. Cool.
Cool.
Okay, bye, awesome. Audience.
Every Thursday on your podcast app of choice. For more from us, please visit Playing With Madness Podcast on Instagram, or you can contact us at playingwithmadness@gmail.com. You can also visit r/playingwithmadness to join related discussions on Reddit. And consider joining our Patreon to support the show and access exclusive content at patreon.com/playingwithmadness. Please rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps. Thanks! Thank you.
Thank you.